Welcome to another podcast of The Shrink Is In. It's Dr. Howard Gurr with another psychological podcast, and today we're going to be talking about what's known as LGBT issues, and it's an area that I know very little about, but my guest, Kathleen O'Brien, is a specialist in the area. Kathleen is a licensed master of social work specializing in LGBT issues, personal and family counseling, and group therapy. She provides services at the Windsor Counseling Group and in Middletown, New York. I just want to welcome Kathleen to the show.
Thank you very much, Howie. I appreciate you having me on your show. It should be a very fun show and hopefully informative.
That's what I'm shooting for. Okay, so Kathleen, you're a therapist and you specialize in LGBT issues. And for most people, they really don't know what that means. So maybe you can explain what LGBT stands for.
Sure, I'd be glad to. A lot of people don't know what it means. A lot of people are confused about it. Actually, LGBT stands for lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender. Sometimes you'll see LGBTQ, where the Q will be tacked on at the end. That would stand for queer or questioning. And then sometimes you'll see LGBTQI, where the I stands for those people who are intersexed. But generally speaking, when we say LGBT, we talk about lesbians, gay, bisexuals, and transgendered people.
So it covers a broad spectrum of individuals.
Correct? Yes, yes, that's correct. And one particular thing to note is that for LGB, generally those letters refer to sexuality and the attraction people have for the opposite gender or the same gender. For example, lesbians are those women who are sexually and emotionally attracted to women. Gays are males who are sexually and emotionally attracted to men. Bisexuals, the B, LGB, are a person that can be attracted to either a man or a woman. And a lot of people get this confused because it's not necessarily, yeah, I can go with a man on Thursday and a woman. Bigendered people or bisexual people have the same sex, the same life partner for years, for decades. So the public is misinformed about that one too. Now, transgendered applies not to sexuality, but to gender identity, which is completely different from sexuality.
Can you explain that?
Sure. Transgender or transgendered is a generic term that's an umbrella that covers those people who express their gender in a manner that is different than the bigendered norm of society, the male and female of society. I like to think of, and so this is a broad term covering a lot of people. Under this broad term, under this broad umbrella, you can have, let's say, cross-dressers at one end of the scale and transsexuals at the other end of the scale.
Is there a difference between the cross-dressers and the transsexuals?
Oh, a big difference. A big difference. Okay. And a lot of people get confused here, too, and that causes problems in relationships. It causes problems in the general public. It causes problems in the workplace. The confusion really is tremendous at times. You can't see me, but I'm holding my hands above my head physically or describing a slider bar. If people are that have looked at electronics are familiar with the volume controls that slide back and forth. And there's many, 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 many slider bars, if you will. There's spectrums that cover every single individual. For example, on one slider bar, on the extrovert slider bar, you could be at one end being an extreme extrovert, and if it slides all the way to the other end, you could be a introvert. So there's a slider bar that let's talk about going from one end, that is cross-dressers, and all the way to the other end as transsexuals. And it's not just one end or the other. The slider bar can move any place in between the two extremes. So you can have attributes all along the scale for an individual.
In terms of, I guess people would ask this question probably either to themselves or out loud maybe, but in terms of sexual attraction, is there a difference between a cross-dresser's sexual attraction and their relationships and a transsexual's sexual attraction? Or is that one of those slider bars?
No, that's one of the slider bars, because every individual is attracted to a particular subset of people. For example, if you are attracted to a woman, you're a woman, you're a lesbian. Now, if you're, let's talk about cross-dressers and transsexuals. In our society, generally, they're about from 5 to 20% of people who cross-dress. Now, going back a little bit, talking about the definition of cross-dressing, it's interesting that a man who wears women's clothes is a cross-dresser, but it's not normally thought of. The application of the label can go the other way too. A woman wearing a man's clothes can also be a cross-dresser. However, when I open up my lectures and on this, I will ask the people in the audience, you know, how many people in the room are cross-dressed? And most of the time, you will find a lot of the women in the audience wearing slacks. And those women, according to some definitions, are cross-dressed. But the women in this country, in the United States, have fought for that right since World War II. During World War II, they worked in the factories, and slacks were very practical. Dresses could get caught in machines, which could be very dangerous. But even today, in third world countries, if a woman were to show up wearing a pair of slacks, in some countries, they would lock her up into a hut, into a house, into a room, into a cell, until she, quote, came to her senses. And if she did not, and she insisted on wearing slacks, she could be taken out and stoned to death. So the culture we're in depends on how cross-dressers are appeared and what and who applies the term to them. In the United States, generally, the term is applied to men who want to wear women's clothes.
About transsexuals, what constitutes or what is a true transsexual?
Okay, I'll have to go back a little bit, and it's estimated that in the United States, for cross-dressers, it's estimated that there are from 5 to 20% of the male population cross-dresses. So if you're in a room, you know, look around, and there could be up to, out of 100 guys, there could be 5 to 20 of them that cross-dress to some extent or the other. Now, talking about cross-dressing, in some marriages, cross-dressing is a normal and healthy part of sexual foreplay and stimulation for the couples. And it's fine with both parties. There's no problem with that whatsoever. And in fact, about 85% of normal heterosexual married males have cross-dressed to some extent or the other. The difference between a cross-dresser and a transsexual is that a transsexual has for their entire life been very uncomfortable with their gender identity. That's what they feel like inside. For example, usually the notoriety is for the males to females. For example, you know, a male will say, a biological male, a person with male genitalia, etc., will say, I feel like I'm a girl inside, or I, more importantly, I know I'm a girl inside. I know I'm feminine. I've been this way my entire life. And they have a need to change their body. Not all cases, but they have a need to change their body to correct their difference between their body and their concept of the gender they are in their mind. I know that's a long explanation, but that's...
No, okay. So I guess the follow-up question would be, is that I know that you are a transsexual individual.
Yes.
Can you explain the experience, and you might have just done that, but could you explain the experience that you had and how you came to this realization?
Okay, I started out two, 3 years old. I knew I was different. I knew something was going on but back then there were no words to describe what was going on. There were no words in this phenomena. And I can remember going to my aunt's house in Appalachia, Kentucky, and seeing a National Enquirer, something like that, with an article, huge face page article in bold print about Christine Jorgensen. Mm-hmm. She was one of the early people that changed their sex from male to female. And it was very, very shocking to the entire United States. Now, I can remember my heart pounding tremendously, and I would sneak downstairs to at night when everybody was asleep, and I read that article. And this was when I was maybe 6 years old, 8 years old, about 8 years old. And finally, in my mind, all the feelings that I had sort of, you know, coalesced from a nebulous cloud into something I could get my hands around and something I could understand. Because in my case, I never wanted to be around men. I never wanted to be around my father, my uncles, my grandfathers, no men at all. I never got the idea of standing on the street corner and slugging guys in the shoulder. I was never interested in sports. I was always wanting to stay with the women, with my mother, grandmother, great-grandmother, aunts, in the kitchen and do the gossip, bake the cakes, things like mm-hmm. that. So it's a lifelong condition. And what happened in my case, as in many cases, is once the individual gets old enough to discover or put their mind around several adjectives that describe what is going on inside them, it all comes together. In my case personally, I was on antidepressants, two antidepressants at a time for around, I'd say 15 to 20 years. Nothing would cure my, quote, depression. And I was on a lot of meds. The instant that I put it all together and decided that I needed to transition, which means that I needed to go through surgery and have my body adjusted to correspond with what was going on inside me. The instant I decided to change, it was like a snap of the fingers. I went cold turkey off the antidepressants and never needed them again. So with a transsexual, they have this lifelong feeling that they are a gender that is different than their body. Now, the frequency of this in the United States is roughly 1 in 30,000 males and 1 in 100,000 females, because it goes the other way around too. You know, there are female people with female bodies that know on the inside of their mind that they are male, and they do take corrective surgery to overcome that. Now, it's been estimated that the frequency is about the same for male to female, because many females get top surgeries and do not get the bottom surgeries. because the bottom surgeries, and I'll explain what a top and bottom surgery is, are not as effective for females at all than it is for males. For females, when female transsexuals start getting surgeries, they usually have their breast removed. And then once that is healed, they have chest reconstructive surgery so that their chest will appear completely male. And then, however, they choose generally not to have the bottom surgeries because the construction of a phallus is not as advanced medically as the construction of a vagina. For many, 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 almost all male to females, on first glance, an OBGYN external glance cannot tell the difference between a genetic female and a transsexual female. And that is, you know, a credit to our medical doctors. However, the other way around, you know, it's possible to build a phallus, but generally speaking, it's fairly much non-functional. What happens is after they build the phallus, then they will have to go back in and do a penile implant, as some men have penile implants to achieve and maintain erections for sexual intercourse. But there's little or no feel. Generally, let's say no feeling for a phallus like that. So faced with the possibility of, yeah, I have something that's partially functioning versus what I have now that I can achieve orgasms and really love that feeling, I'll stay where I am at. So therefore, a lot of females do not get the bottom surgery.
I just want to remind you, I'm talking to Kathleen O'Brien, who's a social worker who specializes in LGBT issues and who practices in New Windsor, New York, and Middletown, New York. Okay, my next question after that whole explanation is, so somebody transitions their sexual identity. How does the family or their close ones, how do they handle this? What's your experience with people accepting, dealing with, and responding to these major changes in someone's life?
Okay, I wish that were an easy question to answer, but it's not. And it varies depending on if you are a cross-dresser or if you are a transsexual. Some cross-dressers, for example, will come out to their wives. Maybe a man has been cross-dressing in secret for decades and decades and have been married to his wife for 30, 40 years. But the wife could come across a trunk of women's clothes in the attic, and she knows they're not hers. So the attic, the garage, a trunk that's hidden away, the trunk of the man's car in the top of a closet. There's some place that there's a stash of clothes, and the wife will find it. Or maybe she'll find a lipstick or a mascara or a pair of panties someplace that she knows is not hers and, you know, what's going on. Maybe sometimes she'll find her clothes and her drawers are different than they were when she left the house. Sometimes a man who has been married for decades will tell his wife that he has a, quote, hidden woman inside of him that now he wants to express. And this may come as a complete shock to the woman, an absolute complete shock, because he's hidden that for decades. And this could be a real uh-oh to the marriage. There are many reactions that can be taken by the wife. First of all, she may feel that the marriage she has had with this man for decades has all been a great lie. She feels extremely betrayed and her trust violated and her confidence in her marriage violated. She feels sometimes that she does not know at all the man that she is married and may tend to question the entire marriage and the validity of the entire marriage. She could feel lied to and used, and she may feel hatred and contempt. And all these feelings that she's feeling may recirculate for a long time you know, for weeks, months, or years after she discovers this secret. And she needs time to process all these. The couple really need to work through all those. And some of this comes out with, of course, with transsexuals too, that a transsexual will tell their spouse that they want to have their sex changed. Same feelings occur. Same feelings occur. But with a transsexual, announcing to their family is different than a crossdresser, because when a transsexual transitions, it's not just the transsexual that is transitioning. It's the entire family that undergoes the transition. For example, you know, Dad's not going to be there anymore. I'm going to have another mom, another aunt that I never had before, etc. So the entire family have to address their feelings and confront their feelings about sexuality, about gender issues, about who this person is, etc. So it's not really an easy issue. I really have to say that I have a personal slight bias in this, because if a man says to his wife, honey, I want to express my more feminine self, you know, I might say as a wife, you know, this is a cross-dresser saying I want to express my more feminine self. I might say, okay, you know, you can do that. There's no problem. I feel great in our marriage, but you darn well better not express your more feminine self by sitting in the living room in front of a football game with a bowl of and wearing a strapless evening gown with a bowl of chips and a six pack of beer at your side, smoking a cigar while I'm in the kitchen doing dishes and cleaning. You know, that is not going to fly. And I really believe that a crossdresser should understand what women have had to go through. The second class status in society, control of society by women is something that they don't really comprehend sometimes. So that's for cross-dressers. Now for transsexuals, the reaction does depend. It depends on the family, and if there's children involved, it depends on the ages of the children. Basically, it goes back to how integrated, how together people are in their own lives, as to how they handle the announcement. Usually, it seems that when the children are young, they're primarily interested in, is my dad going to be there for me? Is this person going to be there for me anymore? I don't care what, you know, if he says he's a girl, if he says he's a boy, whatever. Is he going to be there for me? Now, when the children get older and they're exploring their own sexuality and their own gender identity and developing and integrating that psychologically, then it could be very tough for them. And then it goes into, for example, you know, you're taking my dad away from me by transitioning at the time where I need him most, at the time where he could really guide me, etc., as a male figure. The person is going to be there as a figure to and loving parent to guide the child, but the child at this age, when he's trying to establish his own sexuality, his own gender identity, and really integrate that into his personality, can really get upset when the parents takes that away from him.
Kathleen, we're kind of short on time, so I wanted to give you an opportunity to talk about the things you do in your practice and your presentations, so the audience can get an idea of what, you know, services you actually do.
Oh, thank you very much. I do go out. I train businesses and mental health professionals. I was at SUNY Purchase. SUNY is a New York State college. And I trained the clinical staff last year And they were so happy with my training that they're going to have me back. They said they would this coming year to train the entire faculty, because a lot of people do not know anything about what we've just spoken of. I've trained the Orange County Mental Health Association. So I go out and train physicians, health professionals, you know, people doing therapy over these issues and a lot of other issues. My website is transgendertherapist.com. That's you know, you can spell it transgendertherapist.com. One thing I will add, there's an article section in there, and under the articles button, there is a document called A Transsexual Wonder Woman Finally Beginning Life. This is a PDF file that I retain all rights to, but many, many people that have read it, that people who are transitioning have given this to their families, say now I understand. Once I read what you wrote, Kathleen, I now understand. So I'm offering that to any professional, anyone that wants to use it to read, to hand out, to study. As long as you still attribute it to me, I'm fine with that, and it gets out information. So what I do generally is not too much different than what you do, I suppose, is that these bring up these announcements, whether you're cross-dresser, whether you're transsexual, bring up a lot of feelings, a lot of marriage issues, a lot of family issues, a lot of personal issues. And as a therapist, I deal with those. So, you know, trying to get education out there and trying to help people through these issues is what I do.
So I appreciate the time and effort you put in for this, Kathleen.
Thank you very much.
So until next time, this is Dr. Gurr for The Shrink Is In.
You have been listening to The Shrink Is In, and your host has been Dr. Howard Gurr. If you want to learn more about Dr. Gurr, go to his website at www.drsgurr.com.